Have you ever planned a wedding? If you have, then you know just how big an undertaking it is. There are guest lists to prepare. There are wedding parties to organize. There are dinner menus to consider, seating arrangements to plan, decorations to be bought, made, fashioned, and installed, dresses to buy, speeches to write. Truly, the to-do lists are long and detailed. And then there's another job that we know is very important. It is important today, and it was important 2,000 years ago. Someone needs to see to the bar, because the bar running dry would be a serious faux pas today, just as it was in Cana all those years ago. Because protocol states that at a wedding, the wine will flow. Well, as you know, at this particular wedding in Cana, where Jesus and a couple of his disciples and Mary were guests, the wine went dry. How embarrassing. Problem is, it wasn't just embarrassing, but rather shameful. And we know that shame was a powerful public emotion in the time of Jesus, as arguably it remains today. To be shamed wasn't something you bounced back from easily. And so Mary, who we already know has a thoughtful and compassionate heart, well, she cares deeply that this family doesn't meet such a fate of shame. And so she goes to Jesus. Now, the exchange that happens between Jesus and his mother, I find kind of fascinating. And I have to tell you that I've heard it differently at different times that I've read it. I think that who I am at the time has informed that. Because before, I always seemed to focus and feel that Jesus was really rude and insolent to his mother. Woman. I don't like it. And perhaps now that I have children and stepchildren of my own, I read it a little bit differently. And this week, I read this as Mary going to Jesus because she knows both who he is and what he is capable of doing. And when he brushes her off, she doesn't waste her breath arguing with him, because she's his mother and she already knows that she's right. She doesn't need to argue with him. So she just turns to the servants and says, just do whatever he tells you to do. And then she was right. She is his mother. In the next breath, Jesus does not turn to his mother and say, yes, you were right, because that doesn't happen in real life either, right? But he does turn to the servants and say, go fill up those water jugs. It would appear that Jesus thought his hour had not yet come, which is what he says to his mom. But then realize maybe this is just exactly the opening that he's meant to use. He's got himself a few disciples now, and the time has come to begin the beautiful revelation of God's plan for the world. What better way to begin than at a party, raising a toast? And suffice it to say that when Jesus performs a miracle, he goes all the way. He does not make enough wine to finish the party, maybe with a little bit left over. He makes a ton of wine. Somewhere between 500 to 700 liters of wine. By my rough calculations, and we know I'm not a mathematician, that's, I think, somewhere around 50 to 80 cases of wine. A lot of wine. And apparently it's really good wine, like not like, you know, $10 a bottle wine. It's the good stuff. And just like that, Jesus has performed his first recorded miracle. His ministry is underway. He has shown his cards, begun his life's work. Perhaps even Jesus needed a nudge from someone who loved him and knew him to help him discern when the time was right for the next step. Because this was his big beginning. Now, while I enjoy a party as much as the next person, I don't think that enough wine to inebriate a small village is the whole message here. Reverend Leah Scholl this week wrote, "So often in ministry, I think that our churches are like the wedding in Cana, and our congregants feel like we've run out of wine. They're embarrassed that our budgets are smaller. They're afraid of ridicule because seats are empty. They're comparing our churches to the other weddings they've attended, and it feels like they don't measure up." Wow, I thought when I read that, I can relate to that. It seems to me that we're often looking at other churches from the outside thinking that they have all the wine. Just like we look at other people's lives and parties and think they have it all together, because they would never run out of wine. And I think she's right that we've become entrenched in this system, this notion of scarcity. We think that we never have enough, while we look at others and think that they have it all. But it's a falsehood. It's not true. And it's this lie that sucks us in again and again with its power to fill us with fear and anxiety. But then Reverend Scholl writes this too. She said, "I received an email this week that said, you have enough time, energy, and resources to do everything God wants you to do this year." And she writes, "And for me, when I read that, it was like Jesus showed up to remind me that I can leave the wine up to him. And so can the people in our churches." Now this, my friends, this is truth. And you know how you know it sounds like truth? Because it sounds like freedom. And the gospel sounds a lot like freedom. There's enough. There is enough. You can worship, you can give, you can live, you can raise a toast, because there is enough. Our God is a God of abundance, a God who provides for us. And the truth of it requires us to loosen our grip a bit on our desire to have everything under the thumb of our control, in order that we can let God do what God does. Other churches, they are not living it up, drowning in wine as we struggle. Their parties, turns out they look a lot like our parties. And their cash flow statements do too. I don't know one church out there that is swimming in profits. Churches aren't meant to. That's not what we're about. Instead, they all tend to have enough to do exactly what God needs them to do. Just like us. And they too trust God And Jesus shows up for them too, just like Jesus shows up for us. And Jesus takes care of the wine. So then, in the knowledge that there is enough, we are able to dream and vision and discern. We are able to think boldly about how we can change the world for the better. We can think about sharing our abundance with the poor. We can think about taking care of God's creation. We can dream about how to use what we have been given to show others that Jesus shows up and takes care of the wine. Jesus' first miracle at the wedding in Cana, it isn't just about boozing it up. Although I think it's just important to note, just very, very quickly, that in this case, wine really does come from Jesus. We can remember that. But that aside, there is a message of provision. There is a message of care. Jesus will not stand by and watch as the well runs dry. Instead, Jesus provides what is necessary and more. In faith, we know this to be true. And so we can believe that we have enough time, energy, and resources to do everything God wants us to do this year. And that we have all the wine we need in order to celebrate God's presence among us. Amen.